In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So in the epistle reading that we heard, St. Paul's letter to Corinthians, the first letter, he lays out, as he says, the terms of the gospel. Sounds like a letter from a lawyer, doesn't it? Yeah, it is a letter from a lawyer, actually. It's from Paul. And he's talking to one of the churches he founded, and he's laying out the terms, reminding them what you believed and what I preached to you and how it all works. And Paul reminds them of the content of that gospel. He first heard it, and then he delivered it to them, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day, and that he appeared to all these people, to the disciples and the apostles first, at one point to 500 men at one time, and lastly to Paul. And Paul says he continues to work all the much harder because he is what he is by the grace of God. And he emphasizes that grace of God. So this is what is preached, and this is what they and we believe today. Those are the terms of the gospel. And as Paul says, which you received and in which you stand, by which you are saved, if you hold it fast. So we're saved by it. We need to remind ourselves and know that we are saved by that good news, that Jesus Christ came and died, was buried, raised up, and the gospel was preached. We receive that, and it's our salvation. So we are saved by that grace of God. And then we hear the gospel today, and the question arises. A young man approaches the Lord and says, Lord, what must I do? What good thing do I have to do to have eternal life, to be saved? And that sometimes causes us to forget and causes confusion. We sometimes think we have to do something in order for God to love us. It's the conflict that goes back between salvation by grace and salvation by good deeds. You know, we as Orthodox are accused often of putting emphasis on good works for salvation. And there's another side that says, no, you're only saved by God's grace. So let's clarify that here and now. We believe in the salvation by the grace of God. Because remember, we heard that gospel that Jesus died for us, and it was by grace that it was given to us. Right? So first and foremost, God's grace saves us. We don't want to forget that. But what do we do once we've received that gospel? Like Paul says, you are saved by it if you hold it fast. So there's something. Isn't that a deed? Isn't that something we do? There's a doing factor to receiving the gospel. We can't just say, yeah, I received it, I believe it, and then sit around and do nothing. We actually have to act. So that's what the man, the young man, meant when he approached the Lord and said, good teacher, what thing must I do to be saved? And of course, Jesus reiterated, or had him reiterate, the commandments. You know what the commandments are. What do they say? I said this one time before. Commandments are there, and just to repeat them, it's almost boring. There's nothing exciting about it. It's the same old, same old. Do not kill. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. And Jesus recites several of them. And then he says, and love your neighbor as yourself. So the man says, yeah, I've done all those. And Jesus says, well, if you would be perfect, here's what you have to do. If you think you've got it all covered, do this. Imagine selling everything that you possess in the world, just selling it all and giving it away to people in need. Give it to the poor. And of course, the response here is the man went away sorrowful, because he had possessions. And he thought, that's too hard. How can I ever be perfect? And the disciples were thinking the same thing. They said to Jesus, how can this be? You know, and Jesus even comments, it's easier for the camel to go through an eye of a needle than for people with riches to enter heaven. And with riches, we mean we are enslaved by the riches of the world. You know, it's our life. When we're connected to them, it's hard for us to get into heaven. As hard as Jesus said, a camel through the eye of a needle. So the disciples say, well, how can anyone be saved? And Jesus says, wait a minute. With you, that's not possible. But with God, nothing is impossible. So there's the answer to any kind of conflict we might have. Is it what we do, or is it the fact that Jesus died for us? You know, where is our salvation? Well, it's really kind of both, but most prominently and most importantly, that Jesus died for us. We were given that gift of salvation with the death of Jesus on the cross. If you received that at your baptism, you are on the road to salvation. That's what we as Orthodox believe. Doesn't mean we sit around and wait or do nothing. We have to do something. Notice what Jesus says when the man says, what deed must I do? Jesus says, keep the commandments. And there's the key right there, the keeping. So you've received something, keep it. Hold on to it. Be true to it. Be faithful. But you received something first. You didn't make something. You didn't create something. You're not the author of your salvation. God is. What you have to do then is to keep it, to hold on to what God has graciously and lovingly given to you. That's the answer to grace versus works. There's no conflict. There's no dichotomy, really. It's a false dichotomy. They go very well together. God does and we do by responding in kind. We keep the thing that he gave us. So it's very hard, beloved in Christ. It's very hard to keep the commandments. Did you ever go and read the Old Testament and see what they all say? It's hard to love. And Jesus says in another place, all of the commandments, all the Old Testament, in fact, is summarized, is encapsulated in that one commandment. Remember, what's the greatest commandment in all the scriptures? And Jesus says to love God. And the second is like it. It goes along with it. You can't love God without doing this. Love your neighbor as yourself. So I suppose if I loved my neighbor as if my neighbor was actually me, I would have no problem selling everything I possess, taking food off of my plate, taking money out of the bank, whatever necessary, and give to somebody in need. How hard is that? That's just one example of how we fall short. We fail to love. And we are all of us in that position. It's a good thing we have the grace and mercy of God to guide us through. It's a good thing that God loves us first. It's a good thing that he commands us to be perfect. Now, if you're following me, you might say, wait a minute, we're not perfect. No, we're very far from perfect. In fact, we read in that the pre-communion prayers, the one we all read together, we ask God not to remember our sins and to forgive us of them. You know, and we call ourselves the chief of the sinners. We are first who fall short and don't fulfill the commandments of God. So now we have like the Christian dilemma. We're saved by grace, we're called to keep the commandments, and now we're in this predicament where we can't be good enough. Yet God demands perfection. He said it today, and if you go ahead and look at Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, that Sermon on the Mount, which encapsulates really all of the Christian teaching, Jesus giving a sermon to his disciples, he ends it by saying, if you would be You must therefore, he says, be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So we're commanded by Jesus to be perfect. How do we understand that? And this is where the dilemma or the problem is solved. Perfect in God is not what we call in human terms perfectionism. You know somebody who's a perfectionist? You know, you always have to have everything just so. You demand it of yourself and you demand it of other people. And when things aren't just right, it throws you out of whack, right? We have no tolerance for imperfection and weakness and mistakes. That's not what God means. How do we know that? Because in the Gospel of Luke, if you look at chapter 6, it's like the same teaching as Matthew 5, 6, and 7, but it's kind of summarized and said in slightly different words, and it's on a plain, it's not on the mountain. Jesus says at the very end of it, therefore, be merciful even as your Father in heaven is merciful. So that's our key to understanding God, understanding perfection, and specifically his command to us to be perfect and to strive to be perfect. Perfection in the eyes of God for us is to be like him, to be divine, to have the qualities of God. And it's not the quality that God doesn't make mistakes, he gets everything right. No, it's the quality that he is full of mercy and loving kindness. So make that association. Perfection is mercy. Mercy is perfection. They're right there in the parallel texts. It should tell us something. We know that God is merciful. It's the most used adjective, most used word to describe God in all the scriptures. We have so many ways of saying it, that mercy, that long suffering, that patience, that kindness. It is, in one word, love. And it's the love that he shows us by coming into our humanity, by dying for us, as St. Paul said, through grace, remember? It's the mercy that God shows us when we are dead in sins and not deserving of anything, that Christ comes and he gives us the possibility for eternal life and salvation. So you and I and all of us are in the same position as the church in Corinth. And as Paul says, we hear that, and if we believe it and hold fast to it, it's our salvation. So, beloved in Christ, I want to encourage you today, not to perfection in a human sense, but to perfection in a godly, divine sense. Remember, you're saved by grace. Remember, God is merciful. Remember that he came and he died for you and for me when we had no idea, when we were dead in our sins and not deserving of anything. So our response should be to express that kindness and that loving attitude and mercy to each and every person we encounter in the world. Everybody is deserving and worthy of our love and mercy. You know, mercy doesn't mean letting a criminal off. It means loving with a selfless love. It means, just as we heard in the gospel, your neighbor as yourself. Like there's no difference between me and the guy standing over here. If I'm hungry or if he's hungry, then that's my problem, right? Whatever his problem is or her problem is or that person's problem is, it suddenly affects me because I don't see any distinction between me and them. God calls us to that. He really does. He calls us not to make distinctions and not to be separate. You know, the worst thing we can do, I think, is probably be a perfectionist. Because what that does, it says, I do things this way, and you're wrong, and you're wrong, and you're wrong, and you need to get it right. But God isn't like that. If he was like that, we'd all be in trouble, and there'd be no salvation. He reaches out to us through kindness, patience, long-suffering, and all-merciful compassion. So we want to do the same. We want to have that attitude toward others. And remember that when we do that, we really love God. That's the greatest commandment. We love God by being kind, compassionate, and merciful to everyone we encounter. And that's how we are like God, because God does that first, and he shows it to us. So this is the gospel message today. This is the letter of Paul, and this is what we hope you remember and implement into your daily lives. God is so merciful. Let his mercy wash through us and be present, and we can be a presence of God through Christ, through the sacraments we receive today, through the liturgy we pray and the worship we do when we go out into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.